I'm Steve McDowell. I'm the controller of the Port Ferry State Emergency Service Unit. We're based here in the middle of Port Ferry.
And we're sitting in your facilities here in Port Ferry. And when we're talking, because the Port Ferry unit is in a little bit of trouble, maybe you want to sort of get the message out there that you'd like a few more members to come along.
Yes, Jeremy, we're looking to try and bolster our numbers in the unit. At the moment, we're probably having trouble covering a 24-hour day throughout the day. So we're looking for some more people to come along, volunteer some time. We'll do all the training, we'll supply the uniforms and do all that sort of thing. Really, all people have to do is give a little bit of their time. We'll get their skills up, get them out on the road, and that'll actually help us protect the community in a lot of the stuff that we do.
We'll talk a bit more in a minute then about what that means exactly and what people are signing up for if they're not already familiar with how the SES works. But just tell us what is the unit here down to then, I guess? What is the current state of play?
Currently, Jeremy, we're looking at about 5 to 6 active members. We have a couple of other members who have signed up for administrative work. But we have only 5 or 6 members, and if a couple of those, say, go away for a weekend, and it is voluntary, so quite often that happens, it just reduces our capacity if something does happen in the area.
Is there a minimum that you need to keep the unit operational and viable?
Yeah, Jeremy, probably what we have now is probably the minimum. That's why we're doing this recruiting drive, is to probably increase our numbers and get them up to where they should be. Ideally, we'd like probably another 10 to 12 members on top of what we have now. That would then make the unit more functionable and would actually ease the burden on the current members that we have at the moment.
Well, let's talk a bit about the area that you do cover then. So what is your area of responsibility and what is the area that you can perhaps potentially draw on people to become a part of the unit?
The towns we cover, Jeremy, are, of course, Port Ferry. We also cover Koroit, Hawksdale, Yambuck, MacArthur, and all areas in between. So we've got a pretty broad area to draw from. But again, it's just getting the message out there and getting people involved.
If someone's listening to this and thinking, all right, I might give it a go, what is the first step?
Generally, people just need to really turn up at either our headquarters in Port Ferry here, or they could give me a call on 0407 877 421. Or come along to some of our information sessions we're holding over the next month or so. We'll also be doing some street walks around Koroit and Port Ferry in particular to talk to anybody that might be interested in coming and joining the unit.
So, I mean, this is quite a big drive. Have you ever had to do anything like this in the past, you know?
We have, but several years ago, and then our numbers grew quite dramatically. So we're pretty confident we can do that again. And then just natural attrition, people moving, work commitments, et cetera, the numbers have actually dropped back a little bit in the last few years. So hence we have to do this large drive that we're doing at the moment.
I mean, I don't want to focus too much on the negatives about the whole thing, but I mean, I suppose there is obviously a very serious side to this, and part of it is dealing with emergencies. Does that also present difficulties for some people? Do some people sometimes join and then go to something and then realise, oh, they maybe can't cope with this, or it's not, you know, I don't know, it's very, very difficult, especially in a smaller town, I'd imagine, you know, where you might know the people who are involved, who you're attending to.
That's part of what we do, Jeremy, but we are very flexible in how we go about it. So if people get somewhere and they're not comfortable with the situation, they just need to tell whoever the person is in charge. We then vary things accordingly to make sure they're comfortable with the situation they're dealing with. If after the event they're having problems, we have some peer support. So we have people come down and they actually talk to us, and then members can actually talk to them outside the unit. They don't need to necessarily go through the unit controller. They can actually speak to the people individually. So there are the support networks there, but we try and accommodate people as best we can. If we know there's an issue there, we'll deal with it as best we can at the time.
Plenty of positives as well, though, of course, with the many skills and so on that people learn by being a part of this. So in this case, what is the sort of, I guess, the basic thing, you know, where does the training start, and how, you know, if people come, what do they get thrown into, I suppose?
Yeah, when people first turn up, well, basically it'll be a sign-up, so we'll actually get them to become a member. The first step then is to do a course called Fundamentals, which is their basic skills. We put them and teach them through the basic stuff they need to know, the basic information to get them on the truck and get them out there and get them active. Once they're on the truck, then they'll be mentored by senior members of the unit when they get on the truck and get out there doing work. And as they go through, they can actually build on that to general rescue courses, to road rescue, to storm and flood, to chainsaw, to first aid, and even up the tree into incident management if they want to go that far up the tree. It really is depending on what the individual member wants to do and how far they want to go.
So there are certainly a few options there for people to perhaps, you know, tailor their SES experience. You must also have certain requirements, though, do you? You don't want everyone to obviously just be trained in one thing. You must want people to have a range of skills and bring a whole lot of different things to the SES.
Jeremy, if people have a particular interest that they are interested in and want to follow through, we can do that on an individual basis. But the more members we have, we can actually spread those skills across the unit, and it gives us a better spread of skills. So it's really up to whatever the individual wants to do, and we can tailor what they do to what they want to do to the training we give them. Generally, yes, we would like people who would like to be involved across the board, but if there are people that just want to specialise in one area, we're quite willing to speak to them and get them on board as well.
How busy a unit is this as well then at the moment? You know, typically across, I don't know, a week, a month, I don't know how you compile your statistics. How many jobs do you get called out to, and what sort of things?
Yeah, of course, Jeremy, it varies a lot from month to month, year to year. But on a whole, we would probably have about 60 to 70 events we actually attend a year. Now, they could be call-outs, and we also do some public relations stuff around the area, the different festivals and things like that. So that they're accounted as events as well. Generally, we'd be looking at probably one operational event a week. So we'd be looking at somewhere around the 40 to 50 mark a year around storm, flood, road rescue, and the whole gamut of what we do.
And once again, presumably the more members you have, the less number of times that you might have to attend an incident or be involved in that sort of thing?
Yes, Jeremy, but it also allows the members that are part of the unit to actually go away and do stuff on the weekends that they might want to do. The more members we have, it makes it easier for that to happen. At the moment, with five members, if one goes away, we really need to know when those members go away so we can actually make other arrangements if we don't have capacity to respond. So it may be calling the next unit. And that's really what this is about, is having people locally that can respond to the local incidents, and that gives a better timely response to things that do happen in the local community.
You do seem to have quite a good stack of equipment here. I don't know, I'm quite surprised when you open up the shed how many trucks are in there. That's good, I presume.
It is. Actually, we do have, for a unit our size, we're pretty well equipped, but that is where the problem lies. We've got lots of equipment, and we need people to be able to actually use that equipment to the benefit of the community. And without those people, the equipment's pretty useless. We actually need people to come learn the skills that they can actually take back into their day-to-day lives and their work lives, and then be able to use the equipment when it's required. And I think the whole community benefits from that, yeah.
Now, given that it is a volunteer service and you do have to invest a fair bit of time, I suppose, in getting people trained up and all that sort of thing when people do join, is there a sort of expectation back the other way as to how long people will stay with the SES for, or how much they will contribute to what you do if they do sign up?
Yeah, Jeremy, we'd love them to stay forever, but we know that's probably not a reality. We can't tell people they've got to stay for a certain amount of time, and we know it's a volunteer organisation. So when we get people in and train them, we'd like them to stay, but we can't force that on them, obviously. But yeah, it really is something that if we get people to come in, we'd like them to stick at it. And it's about making the environment right to make people want to come and stay. So that's what we're working pretty hard on at the moment.
Now, there are a whole lot of information sessions coming up. What are you doing at those information sessions if people go along?
Jeremy, we'll actually just be talking to people about what their options are, what the different training in the unit is, again, what the expectations are when they come to the unit, which aren't terribly high. We'd just like them to turn up, and then we'll run through that. But it'll just be talking to people in a friendly environment, in a relaxed environment, and just talk about what their needs are, what our needs are, and see if we can find somewhere in the middle that the both can actually meet.
And what are your sort of regular meeting times then as well? I presume you do meet regularly, do you, through the week and so on?
We train once a week, every week on a Tuesday night between 7:30 and 9:30. So that's our training. And what we do with that training, we train members in new skills, but we also focus on skills maintenance. So any skills that the current members have already, we keep going with those and actually do skills maintenance, make sure that any new techniques that come up, we can actually pass them on to the members. So really all we're asking is for once a week, for 2 hours, and any call-outs, of course, but there are also opportunities to go away for weekend courses for chainsaw, first aid, that sort of thing. So it really is up to the individual members how they structure that. Yeah.
Now, you obviously haven't left as well. what do you get out of being a part of the SES?
Jeremy, I find it really rewarding. I've been with the unit here for 18 years. There's a lot of work that goes into it, but it really all comes together at the end of the day when you go and actually help somebody out that are in trouble. And usually when we get called, it's when things are going really, really bad for them. So it's really good to be able to actually pitch in, do a bit, and actually see a good result at the end of the day, whether it be saving somebody's property from flood, whether it be actually minimising injuries in, say, a road rescue situation, or even to the point of saving someone's life. When you walk away at the end of the day, you know you've actually made a difference.